Well, good morning, boys and girls, and we're back again. The wandering world traveler Robert is back in town. He's landed again. And we have Captain Brian Ball with us. And this, of course, is Fish and Brian. And I think we'll just jump right into the show and see what's going on. All right. So, Brian, what's up, buddy?
Not much, Frank. How you doing?
All right. We got Robert back now, so...
He said he's done playing with the sloths down there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to kind of find out a lot about what's going on with all that, because we were... got busy as heck. I mean, the store was slammed. They were doing the boat shows and everything else. And it gets cold and everything dies off and Robert shows back up to work. You know.
Talk about time.
Look at his face.
Yeah.
This is great. It's just
feel more guilty.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to rub salt in these wounds.
That's right. You know? That's right. Must be nice just taking weeks off, you know, whenever you want. Travel the world.
Three times this year to Costa Rica?
Yeah.
Yeah, jiminy crickets. It's good to be king, right?
You must have a girlfriend prince. Or boyfriend down there.
You're the king.
Yeah, something, right? Yeah, oh, yeah.
That would be nice.
I've been here you've been for all three of those trips.
You've been told to leave multiple times.
You were the one who's traveling around a lot, you know. So I'm sorry, I've handed over the crown there, you know. I went from king to prince to, hey, buddy, clean the back room, you know. Okay, so hey, Brian, Captain Brian Ball, you've been booked a lot lately.
Yeah, it's been good. You know, October was a great month for us. November's continued to stay real steady. I've been doing a lot of nearshore stuff. I haven't really been doing too much inshore, you know, redfish, snook, stuff like that. Most of my focus has been on grouper. You know, with these goofy seasons now with the gag grouper, you kind of got to take it when you can get it.
Absolutely.
And then... most of the stuff I've been doing is in state water still. I've done a few deep trips, but with the water temperatures the way that they are, there's really no need to go much further than 50 feet.
Right.
You can pretty much catch anything you want right now inside of that.
Basically, if you're not aware, if you're on the Atlantic side of Florida, the state waters go out 3 miles. On the Gulf of Mexico, however, they do go out 9 miles. So as long as you're within 9 miles of the shore, you're abiding by state laws, not federal laws.
Correct.
And the only way you're going to find the difference in the two is to go to fishandfranks.com, click the fishing rules, and you'll see FWC, and then you'll also see the federal rules. And they were very hard to find. So I made it really easy for you, fishandfranks.com, and click the fishing rules and look for the federal chart and the state chart. But obviously nobody's been out here in the last day or two. What's your forecast for the next week? It's going to start getting nice. We got 80 degrees right around the corner.
Yeah, I don't know if this was going to be long enough with the cold to get rid of all of our bait. There's still, up until 2 days ago, was bait everywhere that you've ever caught bait. It was there. I mean, it's as good as it's going to get, which is kind of surprising to me. This time of year, it's starting to dry up normally.
I don't really think we're going to lose that much of it. I think what we do lose will be back by next week.
Yeah,
because we're going to be back in the 80s during the day, 60s at night, 80s in the day. So I think the whatever's here will probably be hanging around a while.
Yeah, it'd be good.
But if the next one, well, that'll be the end of all of it.
Yeah.
You know? But this one, I don't, like you say, it's only a 2-day event.
Right.
Monday morning at 5, I got up like 4:45, went outside to have coffee, and I mean, it was still nice out. And then it just got worse as the morning progresses. It always amazes me, the coldest hour of the day, any day, the coldest hour is always the hour after sunrise.
Yeah. I've had it explained to me a couple of times, something with the axis of the Earth and its rotation. And
yeah, somebody said it's actually when the sun rays hits the atmosphere, it inverts and the colder air drops down.
Right.
But yeah, I remember I was up, I was working up in the mid-south and tired, couldn't drive anymore. I knew better than to keep driving. I was gonna crash and die. So I pulled off the side of the road and I'm sleeping and I'm freezing. I mean, it is cold, cold. And I saw the sun peak up, and I went, oh, God, this is going to be great. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm ready to get warm. And it got cold. Yep. And I mean, really cold. I bet you it dropped several degrees just seeing the sun rays come up.
That's right.
That's what set me on that quest to learn about why the sun does that. But yeah, coldest 2 hours of the day. We're over that now. We're kind of in that hump. We're only going to hit the mid-60s today. So, mm-hmm. you know, the world doesn't have to be envious of Florida today.
No.
Tomorrow, however, you know, there's going to be a lot of people mad at Florida.
Yep. Because we're coming right back.
Yeah, we're going to be back in the 70s. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be, you know, basically the paradise which it is.
Yeah, I think probably from a fishing standpoint, today might or tomorrow might be pushing it a little bit if it was going to get good, you know, as far as a bite, maybe later in the day once the sun's on it. But I don't think
actually the bite's been even yesterday and today. Some of the snook have been still biting. We have no idea why. That front should have shut everything down.
Yeah,
it really should have. It just should have. They should have just lockjawed. And I've had a lot of people coming in. They're standing on a bank, piers, up around the spillways. Huh. And doing snook, and they've actually been cooperating.
Nice.
So, my thoughts like yours. I would have expected, now it's going to take a couple days after this. Not according to the few people that have been fishing.
Yeah. I fished Tuesday there, you know, as the front was coming in. I'm sorry.
Monday.
Monday as the front was coming in, and, you know, like normal, as it starts to break down, the fish kind of feel it, and they start feeding pretty good, so at least we got the benefit from that.
So now you're fishing on a lot of these nearshore reefs, a lot of little ledges. And what always shocks me is when I came to Florida, because I'm from the northern Midwest and all glacier lakes. Mm-hmm. So when you have a ledge, it's massive. I mean, you come to fish some of these things, you get on a lake, and the glaciers literally cut the bedrock out.
Mm-hmm.
And so the ledges are 10, 15, 60 foot. I mean, just
right.
Amazing ledges. And we would never consider calling what we have here a ledge.
Right.
It's not even a drop off. It's just.
Yeah, it's more or less cracks and just rubbly, hard, it's live just, bottom.
Yeah, you got like a foot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, a massive one would be like 5 foot of relief.
I've never seen a 5 foot of relief really on, yep. on a long ledge. But I think. Maybe two,
mm-hmm.
but I'm sure there's spots where they're 5 feet, but you got to be pretty lucky to find that
yeah.
or have a lot of time on the water.
Yep. Yeah, you know that the mangrove snapper fishing, even in the bay, up until about a month ago, was just like unreal. Usually they would have left, you know, by the mid part of the fall there, but it just stayed consistent. Nice fish, too, you know, like 15 to 18 inches. Good eating fish. I mean, if you're looking for table fare, there's not much better fish than a mangrove snapper as far as I'm concerned. And some of the fish that we're catching now, just offshore, you know, anywhere from like 2 to 5 pounds.
So what are you using for bait?
I've been, like I said, with the bait still being real plentiful, fishing a lot of live pilchards, small thread fins, live shrimp. Actually, the last trip I ran out to 55 foot, I took 100 shrimp with me, and I caught just as many on shrimp as I did on live bait.
So what size hook are you using?
Well, if I'm fishing them, you know, like shiners and greenbacks,
right.
I'll use like a 1/0,
okay.
something small. With 20, if I'm snapper fishing strictly, I'll sometimes I'll even drop down to 15 pound fluoro, but usually I stay around like 20-25, and I'll use almost 20 feet of it, still fishing it on braid. And usually with the live bait, I'll rig it with a knocker rig, which is just where your lead, you use like a 1/2 ounce or 3/4 ounce egg sinker, and it slides right down to the hook.
So you're doing what, 20, 30 pound braid?
Yeah, 20 pound braid.
And now what kind of rods are you doing to achieve this? Because that's a lot of effort on a standard spinning rod.
Right. I have too many different kinds of spinning rods, as you know. Most of them come from the shop, but generally what I'm fishing with for the snappers, like a 4000 series, 5000 series reel, something, you know, like in a 15 to 30 pound range, just in case you do get a gag on there, you kind of stand a chance.
Just using a little heavier rod with a lighter reel.
Right, exactly.
So basically, to me, the one rod weight I really enjoy for that is the 12 to 25.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Because it's not heavy like a tarpon rod, but it's not light like a snook redfish rod.
Right.
At 12 to 25 is a really nice intermediate between normal fishing and monster fish.
Correct.
And Star makes a couple of different ones, and I think Penn's got some.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that 12 to 20.
Mm-hmm.
It's 12 to 20, not 12 to 25. 12 to 20. Because once you break that 20 pound as the top number, you get into, that's some pretty heavy tackle.
Yeah, there's some sticks. But like I said, you know, this time of year with the water temperature the way it is, we got a lot of gag grouper, and you can still keep the red grouper, you know, in state water.
Now,
so
just out of curiosity, how come you don't have a Fishing Frank's hoodie on?
I don't know. I own a bunch of shirts that never got sold a hoodie, I guess.
You know, don't you feel like left out? I mean, Robert's got the pullover Fishing Frank hoodie. I've got the zip-up Fishing Frank hoodie.
Here I am wearing some Bunk Asics workout gear.
It's tough
out there, Frank.
Yeah, we got to get you in a regular hoodie. You know, I feel bad for you. I don't want you to be uncool.
I will tell you, I've been rocking a lot of your shirts. The long sleeve. I don't know what that material is.
Yeah, that SPF stuff.
Yeah, all over Pine Island. And I'm selling them left and right. People love them.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's a great shirt.
Ones we sell in the SPF are the original Robert designs.
Yep.
The ones Robert drew. Hi, Robert.
Hi.
So, you spent a week in Costa Rica, you know, living the high life, you know, being executive, and now you don't want to talk?
You guys had it under control.
Okay. So, jump in here. We're talking about snapping.
Why do you use such a long leader?
I don't know. It's just how I've always snapper fished. Sometimes I won't even use a leader, and I'll just run like straight monofilament, just 25-pound test monofilament the whole way. And honestly, when the bite gets tough, it makes a difference fishing mono versus the braid.
I've been saying that for years. I've been saying if you want to catch more fish or hook up more fish, let's not say catch. If you're going to hook up more fish and you've got open water to work with, go back to mono with a fluorocarbon leader on it, and you will do way better. But now, I won't use mono against trees anymore. It won't break. Braided line pops so easy, I can break it, bump, 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 good sharp jerk, and it's way safer around the trees. And everybody knows I'm a little bit weird, but I use braided line because it breaks so easy, and mono's so hard to break.
Yeah.
That's why I did the switch. But if I'm in open water, monofilament every time, every time.
Fishing deep, you know, ever since they've come out with these super lines or braided lines, if you want to call them that, it's awesome. So, like, say you get hung on the bottom, if you're drift fishing, whatever, trying to get on red grouper or gags or whatever it is that you're fishing, and you hang mono, if you're fishing, say, 60 or 80 pound mono in 150 foot of water, that's a pain in the butt.
I mean, yeah,
to break.
You are anchored.
Right.
You're anchored.
Literally.
Yeah, it's
so
tough.
What we've done is started running, you know, these long leaders like I'm talking about, so you get the braid away from the fish, and then if you're hung up at the same time, you still have that shock of the braid to break it off.
Right. So that's actually a pretty good idea, because braided line, it on a dead pull is amazingly, unbelievably strong,
mm-hmm.
but on a sharp jerk, it just pops.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I really enjoy how easy braid is to break. And I've actually done abrasion tests where you have metal and watch the mono outdo it.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, it's not at all what people think, but it is much easier to use, much easier to cast. It doesn't twist. It does twist, but it takes 10 times as long to get half as much twist as it does in mono before you see problems.
Yeah. I noticed, Frank, when I walked in the shop there, your back wall where all your big stretch plugs and deep diving Rapalas and stuff like that. It looks like everybody's starting to get into it. It's selling them left and right, huh?
Unbelievable. We were at the Fort Myers Boat Show, and we did a few trolling seminars. And I never make any money at the boat shows. I figure I'm unbelievably fortunate if I break even. But after talking to so many people about the trolling and the king mackerel out there, and you've seen the kings.
Oh, yeah.
You've been catching. What are you catching them on?
I was catching them on just live thread fins. I have a couple buddies that do it commercially, and they were trolling nothing but spoons. I mean, they do it old school with hand lines, you know, with the wooden plank wrapping it on
right.
the board and all that.
But that's the fastest way to land them.
Oh, correct. Yeah, if you're trying to, you know, fill a fish box with them. But again, I go back to like a big redfish rod or like a snook rod, you know, and I use about a foot of wire. You don't need anything more than that. A foot's kind of overkill, really.
If I've got braided on the line, my formula is 12 inches of single strand steel, anywhere from 30 to 50 pound, and then about 2 to 3 feet of 60 or 80 pound mono.
Yep.
Because I tie the leader to the spoon, or you can use a snap swivel, and ball bearing snap swivel would probably be the best idea. But then I use another ball bearing swivel to attach the monofilament to the steel.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason I'm putting the monofilament on there is for my fingers.
Yeah.
Because I can grab that heavy mono.
That braid messes you up.
Oh, yeah. It's too hard on my hands. I can't deal with that cutting aspect of it.
Yeah, we had an awesome migration of them there for a while. It seems like most of the stuff's kind of pushed out a little bit deeper from the kingfish standpoint, or it's moved further south. But
I think it'll be coming back up. I think we're going to get another shot at them because this water...
I hope so. It's a fun fish to catch.
Yeah.
It's like a Spanish mackerel on steroids.
When you get towards the end of this week, I think you're going to see a nice bunch of king mackerel coming back towards the end of this next week. But everybody's kind of got into this trolling thing because it's, you know, for me, I've been doing it for years. I used to get paid to do it, and I love trolling. But now people are finding out it's not hard to do once you learn a proper setup.
Right.
And that's what we've been teaching people. And it takes a while when they come in. I mean, literally, it takes me 20 minutes to half an hour. I got to do all the layouts and show them where to go and what to do. But boy, people are just rocking them because you got grouper on the bottom you can catch with this and 40 inch redfish.
Yep.
Plus cobia, plus the kings, and whatever else might be out there, and then up towards the surface, you got the blackfin tuna, the Spanish mackerel, the blue runners, the king.
We've been having a lot of fun with the barracudas, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
they're a blast, man. And I've been doing a lot of just like drifting across some of these public numbers and whatnot, and throwing out almost like you're gonna king, like slow troll for a kingfish. Just put out two rods and just have enough bait, you know, where you can sit there and kind of float across whatever structure you're on and chum. And you can, like, they telegraph it. They come up, start popping, and it's like, all right, get ready. Wham! Just doubling on them. I mean.
And they're fun. And I mean, a barracuda is absolutely a riot. A lot of people complain about them and, oh, they eat my fish and they do this and that. And
you got to stop and think about
so
why you're fishing.
Phenomenal of a fight.
If you don't like catching a barracuda.
When you
go fishing.
They are even acrobatic to some degree. They don't come out of the water often, but when they do, it's quite the thing.
It's like someone saying, oh, I don't like catching Jack Crevalle. Really?
Really?
What else pulls better and is more fun and more aggressive than a Jack Crevalle?
The hardest fighting, best pull in anywhere is
And let's go back even another notch with that. The guys that'll complain about it, let's say, because you hear about it, like in the Keys, they complain about the barracuda. Here, they'll complain about the jacks. How many millions and millions of dollars are made every year with charters because that barracuda has saved the day, or those jacks have saved the day because your other species didn't cooperate?
I used to have people
unbelievable.
That's all they wanted to do.
I love it. Offshore, I mean, to catch barracudas is a blast. It is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, whether it's jacks, barracudas, they're a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And now the best way to get barracuda to come up, and I do know this from personal experience, is to have when you get out there and it's one of those calm days and nothing much is going on, get your wife to jump in the water and splash around for a while. And then once you see the barracuda start rising up, get her back up in the boat.
That's right.
But it actually works really good. Next time you see Terry, ask her about that.
I was going to say, I'm going to ask her next time I see her.
My old lady's pretty hardcore. I mean, she's
sounds
something.
Like it.
Yeah, no, that's what we used to do because she loves to swim and be in the water and all that. She'd overboard and just splash around for a while and swim, and all the barracuda would come up. Haul her butt back up in the boat.
Wow.
It works.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure it does.
Well, you got to have an understanding wife who likes to fish.
Yeah.
You know.
And she loves the offshore fish.
And I was chubby at that point. I didn't want to get back in the boat. She was thin, you know. So, hey, that worked.
Yeah. I'm
not I think I shot
water.
Both of you.
I'm not getting in the water.
I know.
Looking at me like, did you just say that? No, it's a true story.
I know what else comes up when the cudas come up too, and I'm not interested in playing with those. So,
like I say, she's tough, but she did cruise to all the islands on sailboats for years, so she's tough.
Nice.
But anyway, back to the fishing. Inside, we're not really sure what's going to go on, except it's going to bring the fish further up the harbor. For the last week or two, you've had to go kind of south of from the artificial reef south to really find much fish. The best redfish, the best snook, the best trout fishing, everything. The closer you got to Cape Hayes, the better it got. But now this cooler weather, this is the invitation. Okay, everybody move up into the harbor.
Mm-hmm.
Canals are the warmest waters we have. A lot of little bays and creeks and stuff. But the problem with them for the fish is they're not deep enough if it gets too cold.
Right.
The canals are the safest haven when the water gets cold for the fish, because most of them are deep enough they can survive even a mild freeze.
Mm-hmm.
You know, good frost. It won't bother the fish because they just drop down a little deeper water. But so we've got a lot of fish coming into the canals right now. Everything's moving up the harbor. I can see them. I can close my eyes. I can picture them moving.
Yeah. So I like that muddy bottom holds the heat.
That black bottom, the brown water, it's going to bring those fish right up here by the bridge. So once the wind dies down enough where it's safe to get out, I would start looking for fish right around 41. This area up here, Micah Cutoff's had tons of redfish in it lately. I mean, just phenomenal redfish fishing. And enough snook to give you a bit of excitement going on.
Mm-hmm.
Over in the mouth of Myakka, along the west side of the harbor. I'm telling people, if I was going to go red fishing tomorrow and I was going to use relatively well-known spots, the east side is a parking lot by 10, 11 o'clock when the weather's nice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every island has somebody. And if somebody's on an island, leave them alone. Go to the next one.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's not... Gee, you know, there's not a shortage of islands there. Very seldom do they all get full. But down here, everybody likes a little bit of space. And you're out there to relax and enjoy yourself. If somebody's in the place where you like to go, this is the best opportunity you have to find a new, great, best spot.
Right.
So go somewhere you never fish. And go and try that. And if that doesn't work, move 100 yards left or right and try that.
Right.
The whole idea is, if somebody's in your favorite spot, instead of getting angry, take it as an opportunity. A little Lewis and Clark, you know?
Yep.
Go find some new spots. Because your spot isn't going to be very good for that long. It's only good for a limited amount of time. And then you got to go find a new one anyway. Best opportunity to do it. But I'd be on the west side. Because there's almost nobody fishing over on the west side right now. It's still pretty vacant. So it's going to be pretty cool. What was that about?
Mullet.
Yeah. You got a...
Got
a bait thing coming in?
Yeah, I'll go.
Okay.
Help.
Well, I guess we can pretty much tie this up, but I want to talk to Brian for just a bit about his charters and what you can expect and his forecast for the next week. So, all right, Brian's back.
Sorry about that.
Oh, that's all right. You know, hey, that's okay. Hey, just tear it up. Hey, it's Fish and Frank's. If you're not knocking something over, you're not in the store.
That's right.
I mean, there's no room left over by the rods.
That's
all
true.
All those rods.
This place is loaded down.
We've got so much inventory over there. I'm knocking stuff over, and I'm used to walking in here. So anyway, what's the telephone number somebody wants to reach you for charters?
It's 941-815-1758, or you can visit me at my website, tarpinfishingswfl.com.
Or you can click his picture right next to this radio clip, and it will take you right to his website. Now, what are you expecting? How long do you think you're going to be working that reef stuff?
I'm going to stick with it, to be honest with you, Frank. I'm going to do a lot of mullet fishing here in December. That's just my MO. That's what I get into. As far as cast netting, I don't do any of the same fishing, but we do some cast netting, traveling from Tampa to Naples, basically, and everywhere in between.
So what's going on with the mullet out there? How's it shaping up?
It's looking great, you know, as usual. They're everywhere, and then once the price gets up, they're not everywhere. It's just kind of how that happens, but the aisles are loading up with them. Coral Creek's loading up with them. I know there's a lot of fish to the south of us. Pine Island Sound, every island down there has a big black knot of mullet around it, so we just need a little bit of weather and that price to go up, and it should be a good season for us, hopefully.
Yeah, it's amazing how Viagra killed the price of mullet.
Yeah.
You know, once Viagra came out, it just never came back up, because the white roe or the male mullet, you have two basic species of mullet, male and female. And then there's silver mullet, black mullet, and all these other variants of that. But basically, it's a male and female. Now, the females carry caviar. Mm-hmm. They're fish eggs.
Oh, yeah.
Males, I don't really believe you want to call that caviar.
No, that's not anything you want to eat there, I don't think.
Well, actually...
People do, but...
What it was considered a male enhancement. All through the Orient and the Far East and a lot of other countries, even a lot of people in this country, they ate the white roe thinking it was a male enhancement.
Mm-hmm.
But then Viagra comes out, and pretty much you want to do that, you know,
mm-hmm.
eating that male mullet or, you know...
Taking a little blue pill.
Or take a pill. Most people went for the pill, and it kind of dropped the price of that whole... white roe down to next to nothing.
Yeah, most of that's going for crab bait and fertilizer. Some of it's going for just food, but...
You know, and it's amazing to me people don't eat mullet. It's still, to me, one of the best-tasting fish in the ocean.
I love mullet. My wife's family's from Texas, you know, up that way there, Louisiana. They're kind of right on the line, Port Arthur area.
Right.
They hate mullet, like...
Really?
And... My father-in-law, you know, when he hears me talk about, fried mullet or smoked mullet, he just looks at me like I'm crazy, but...
I get along with him on the smoked mullet part. I hate smoked mullet.
Really?
Well, because you got to leave it on the skin,
mm-hmm.
and that leaves that red thing in there, and that is one oily, nasty red strip. When I flam, I cut that red out,
mm-hmm.
and it is some of the mildest... It's got this wonderful light fish flavor, no fishy taste. And you can bake it, steam it, grill it. You can do the whole Forrest Gump. You bubble, you know. I mean,
mm-hmm.
everything works with mullet once you cut that red strip out of the flag.
Right.
But when you leave it in there, like when you do that, Spanish mackerel, Jack Crevel. Jack Crevel's the best smoked fish in the world. Nothing is as good as Jack Crevel smoked.
It is good.
And there's no red thing to cut out. The meat's all like an even fish flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you that opportunity to use that heavier spice.
Yeah.
I like that, and it really does. I love smoked jack, but mullet is literally the forgotten hero. Because as I've said 200,000 times, when I first moved here, you went to a party. I was playing guitar back then, and you ate mullet gizzards,
mm-hmm.
mullet, swamp cabbage, and hog.
Yep.
That, and people look at me now when I say mullet gizzards, and they don't have a clue.
Yeah.
It's amazing how people forgot.
Yep, it is.
Or just never learned.
Swamp cabbage. You make me want to go cut down a cabbage palm now. That stuff's so good. I haven't had it in a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while. I mean, this was back when old Buck was alive and playing guitar. I used to play bass for Buck. And
yeah.
Big old country boy looked like, you know, he was as far from being a sheriff as a man could ever get. But that's, you know, if you picture that southern big belly sheriff with the, you know, mirror glasses and the big cowboy hat.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. That was Buck. And he was a heck of a country singer and player.
That's awesome.
And that's how I was introduced to South Florida, playing in all those big, you know, private parties down in TGA and all over the place. All
right.
So yeah, I got a redneck side to me real quick when I moved here. It was good.
Didn't have a choice, it sounds like.
Oh, I had a choice, but that was my preference. Now, mind you, I'd probably be worth a lot more money and have a much better lifestyle if I'd gone a more conventional way. But
right.
I did have a good time. So anyway, mullet fishing is commercial. Now there is special licensing you need.
Correct.
You cannot buy a cast net and go out and catch mullet and sell them. They will put you under the jail for that.
Right. Yeah, it requires having a saltwater products license and RS, restricted species.
But you cannot just get a saltwater products license
right.
and catch and sell mullet. Again, you will go to jail for that.
Right.
There was one kid who came in, he didn't believe me, and he went out, and he lost his fishing license, his personal fishing license.
Really?
For like 10 years.
Oh, my goodness.
He's not allowed to go fishing, period, you know, plus the fines and everything else he got. But he got caught with a bunch of mullet, and they pulled his fishing license for 10 years.
Hmm.
So he can't even recreational fish now.
That's no good.
And so there's a lot at stake. You must have a saltwater products license. Then you must have a restricted species endorsement.
Correct, yeah, RS.
Yeah, and that restricted species covers shrimp, blue crabs, mullet. I don't know what else is on there, but...
Like sand bream, a couple other things are on there.
Is sand bream on the RS now?
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's several of the species where you must be a real full-time commercial fisherman to catch them. Now,
that's
you
right.
can buy and sell pinfish with a saltwater products license. I think ladyfish you can. You know, there's a very, very few species that you can sell with a regular SB.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, just all the legal loopholes.
Oh, yeah.
It's not as easy as, okay, I'm going to come to Florida, because some of these mullet guys are making big bucks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when the price gets up there, you know, there's money to be made for sure. But
how much work is it to stand on a cast on the deck of a boat all night, throwing a cast net, dumping fish in, and then checking for red roe and white roe?
Yeah, it's a process. I definitely should have been a doctor or something. It would have made a lot more sense.
Yeah, because this is it. It's money, but I mean, you'll think digging ditches on a construction site is an easy gig compared to what this is.
Oh, definitely. Much better smelling, too. There's nothing that smells worse than clothes that have been in mullet slime all day. It just takes like 2 or 3 washes to get out. My wife doesn't even do my laundry in December. She makes me do it, so.
Yeah, I don't blame her. Yeah, there was something we used to put in the clothes, and I don't remember what it was. It wasn't battery acid, but I know that would work.
Yeah.
Just make them go away.
Yeah, exactly.
So, anyway,
lighter fluid, maybe.
You're going to stay with the near shore stuff.
I am. I'm
as
gonna,
long as possible.
Exactly, yeah. I have a handful of people that I'll fish, you know, backwater stuff. They really enjoy doing the pothole, you know, super low tide, redfish, trout, once that starts to get going.
I love that very, very low tide fishing.
Yeah.
Because it's easy.
It is, man. If you can get to the fish, you'll catch them. It's pretty cool when that happens. I really enjoy that. And it's normally on crappy weather, you know, blowing out of the north. Nobody thinks that it's possible to catch a fish in that. And you go out and you catch 100, you know what I mean? It's like one after another.
I would get my customers to get up as far in the boat. I would get out the back and try and push it up into these places. It'd be so shallow, bottom dragging.
Mm-hmm.
And if you run the outboard too close, you spook the hole.
Yep.
You know? But you push that boat right up next to it, and I drop the anchor front and back, hit there right at low tide.
Mm-hmm.
And then while that water starts flowing into them holes, it gets them all, okay, time to eat.
Yeah.
And there's nowhere for them to go.
Nope.
They're literally sitting in a bucket.
Yeah, it's like fishing in a pool.
It's cool.
It is neat.
It was really great.
So I'll do some of that, you know, December and January, but my main focus is going to be just this near shore stuff. It's been really, really consistent and
a lot of fun.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Yeah, my wife loves that bottom fishing in the Gulf. She just absolutely goes crazy over it.
Yep.
And I like casting the mangroves a lot. So, you know, we're actually working on getting a boat together for her favorite now. I have 8 of them to do my favorite, but you know, they're all work boats, but,
right,
you know. So we're getting rid of a bunch of boats and gonna keep our 2 flats boats and get an offshore boat.
Yeah, one thing about a boat, there's not one that does it all.
No, you pick the right day. I mean, I've seen the weather forecast where there's been no wind for 3 or 4 days, and I run my flats boat 40-50 miles out in the Gulf,
right,
no problem. But those days are rare,
mm-hmm.
And if you got afternoon storms, you have to be back before the storms start.
Exactly.
You know. So anyway, Captain Brian Ball, we've been sitting in here. Poor Brian, he is just beat. He's been on the water pretty much every day, working all over the place. And
it's kind of nice to sleep in here today. It was welcomed. Woke up to crying babies, but other than that, it was good.
Yeah, but you like it.
That's right.
You like it. So how are the kids?
Everybody's good. Looking forward to Thanksgiving. Gonna do a little traveling, go up and see my sister in Atlanta, and everybody's doing good.
Good deal. Well, say hi to your sister in Atlanta.
We'll do it.
No, I mean, say hi to
her.
Hello. She can actually hear you.
Hello, sister in Atlanta. She's probably cleaning someone's teeth right now. She's a dental hygienist up there, but if you're listening, I love you.
Yeah, well, believe it or not, I think we dropped down because when I was sick and in the hospital, we went down to about 12,000 listeners. But we're pushing our way back up there. We'll break 20 before the end of the year, I think.
That's awesome, man.
So, anyway, this is Fish and Frank. Captain Brian Ball, click his picture. It will take you to his website. He's kind of in the same mood that I am today. I slept in. I actually made myself breakfast. I goofed off. And now I'm here just kind of relaxing doing the radio show. But I'm actually just really happy to be back doing it. And Brian's like, Frank, you gotta quit talking me into all this stuff.
I appreciate the opportunity to talk on here, man.
So anyway, guys, if you're in Michigan, Canada, New York, Ohio, Wisconsin, Minnesota, any of these states up there, be safe, be careful, and just as a last note.
Yeah, exactly. It sucks to be you.
Yeah, that's true. I'm sorry, guys, but I wish you could be here today. No, you really don't want to be here today. But if you can make it tomorrow after for the next
you'll
week.
You'll be good.
Yeah, you'll actually be really glad you came. So anyway, Fish and Frank, Captain Brian Ball, we'll catch you on the next Radio Fishing. Bye-bye.